In Proverbs chapter 4, we're going to be taking the first six verses from this chapter today. Last week we finished up chapter 3, verse 31 through 35, and tonight verses 1 through 6 in chapter 4. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live, get wisdom and understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee, love her, and she shall keep thee. Heavenly Father, again tonight we do ask thy blessings upon the reading of thy precious word. Father, again tonight we ask, Lord, that you would speak to us. Lord, help us to be attentive to the scriptures here this evening. Lord, help us to be led of thy spirit. And Lord, we just thank you for this day and this time. For it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, we finished up last week and speaking on the subject of envy, not the oppressor. This evening, I'm just titling this, Fathers and Children, the relationship between father and children. We've got to cover this some in the book because it's mentioned so many times. As a matter of fact, we find the expression, my son, and here we have chapter 4, verse 1, hear ye children, the instruction of a father, but the expression, my son, back in chapter 1, verse 8, and chapter 1, and also in verse 10. We find this again in chapter 2 and verse 1. We also, as chapter 3, it's mentioned chapter 3, verses 1, verse 11, and verse 21. We find in chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, we just keep seeing this. Well, what do we have here this evening? We see the importance of the father-child relationship. And with the child being instructed by the father's words and example, we do know that words mean nothing if the actions are contrary-wise. And so as a father, as a leader of a home, our words and our actions, we are to be an example in both of those areas. He says here in verse 1, he says, hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. And again, we see the importance of the father-child relationship. We see the responsibility of children. They're to be taught, and they are to listen. They are to follow instructions. Hear ye children in verse 1. Again, the responsibility of the child to listen to the parents. The mother is also mentioned here in verse 3. And so if you're taking notes, you can write down Psalms 34 and verse 11. And also in Proverbs chapter 30, we preached a message on this a few months back. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 11 through 14, we don't want to be this kind of a generation. He said, there is a generation that curses their father and doeth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. We don't want to be that kind of a generation. But there is a generation that curses their father and doeth not bless their mother. What we find here is Solomon has received information. He's received instruction and training from his father. He learned these things from his father. And he says here in verse 1, hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. The word attend means to ponder. It means to listen to. It has the ideal of considering it with obedience. Now notice he says in verse 2, notice as we come, well, before we come to verse 2, let me make mention of this. Let me give you another passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'll read this for you. The Apostle Paul compares himself and the other apostles. He compares himself and the other apostles as a nursing mother in verses 7 through 12, and also as a loving father or a loving dad. In other words, he says in verse 7, we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. Remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. You're witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblamely we behaved ourselves among you that believe. So he gives some characteristics of a nursing mother, how she cherishes her children. She's affectionately desirous of her children and takes care of the children. But he also mentions here in this passage a loving father. In other words, fathers are to establish instructions in the home as the head of that home, but they're to do it with love. He said in verse 11, he said, and you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doeth his children. The instruction has to be there. It cannot be forsaken, but it has to be done in love. It's like in Ephesians chapter 4, speaking the truth in love. In other words, Paul said, we comforted you. We charged you. In other words, we taught you. We loved you, and we shown that we were as a nursing mother and we was as a loving father. Well, this is what Solomon is getting at in our text. Come now to verse 2. He said, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. Good doctrine. The Lord Jesus, in John 7 and verse 16, he says that he did not come speaking his own doctrine, but the doctrine that was given him of the Father. In other words, he was obedient and he followed the doctrine of the Father. And so Solomon is speaking to us now about what he has been given of his father, David, a godly man. And he's wanting to pass this on to the next generation, and that generation is to pass it on to the following generation. And he mentions doctrine here. Good doctrine always produces good behavior if it is believed and attended to. But you'll notice now in verse 3, we find that he gives tribute to his parents, both of them. He says in verse 3, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. So he gives tribute to both the father and the mother. Now notice coming to verse 4. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. I want you to hold on here and turn with me to 1 Chronicles and notice with me in chapter 28. 1 Chronicles in chapter 28, beginning in verse 9. David exhorts his son Solomon in this chapter. You'll find again, if you're taking notes, in 1 Kings chapter 2, right before his death, that will be 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. He speaks to Solomon. He gives him a charge. He says, I go the way of the earth. He said, be thou strong, be a man, show thyself a man. He talks about keeping the charge of the Lord to walk in His ways and His statutes, His commandments, judgments, and testimonies. As it is written in the law of Moses, that thou shalt prosper in all that thou doest, and whither thou turneth thyself. Notice He gives Him commandments. That's the first four verses of 1 Kings chapter 2. But notice here, and this is tied in not only with keeping God's law, but also after David would be gone, in verses 12 through 21, Solomon was to carry on the temple project. David began gathering the materials. And he actually gives him in verses 12 through 21 the pattern, the blueprints, the measurements, all the details that Solomon, that he got from God, that Solomon was to do. He was to follow David's words in building the tabernacle. Notice as we read verses 9, 10, and 11, and keep in mind that Solomon had a great teacher. And David was a man after God's own heart, Acts 13, verse 22. And David taught Solomon not only from the Word of God, but also from his success with God. And I'm sure he also taught him some truth about his failures with God as well. And David writes about some of those. We have many of the Psalms that David has written. So we find here in verse 9, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy fathers, and serve Him." Notice each word. "And serve Him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek Him, He will be found of thee. But if thou forsake Him, He will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." Verse 11, "And then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern." Notice he gives him the blueprints and the measurement for that great temple that was to be built. He says in these verses, verse 9 again, "Serve Him, know Him, have a perfect heart, have a willing mind, seek Him, and God will be found if you seek Him." Well, go back with me to Proverbs chapter 4, and reading in verse 4 again. So Solomon had a good teacher, and he is now passing along some of the things that his father taught him. He says in verse 4, he said, "And he taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, and keep my commandments, and live." These are the words of a father that followed the Lord. Then he says in verse 5, "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth." In other words, we see here again the importance of the teaching and instructions of a father. I'm going to read this next verse and comment on it, and then we are going to look at some verses on the fatherhood of God and just on fathers in relation to children this evening. But keep in mind, verse 5, get wisdom. And of course, when the Bible speaks of wisdom, it's talking about the wisdom of God in contrast to the wisdom of men and the wisdom of the world. Now notice in verse 6, he says here in this passage, he said, "Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee." Now that's just one of the few promises. We've already got about two or three messages coming from different angles already on wisdom. Next week we're going to preach out of from verse 7, probably down to about verse 13, and it says here, wisdom is the principal thing. It is first. It is the principal thing. You're not to miss this no matter what. It is the ground and foundation which supports and establishes anything else. But in verse 6, you'll notice that He tells us here in this passage, forsake her not, speaking of wisdom, the wisdom of God. And she shall preserve thee. Love her. Notice, she shall preserve thee and keep thee. Isn't it interesting that wisdom is portrayed as a woman? Now, the Bible contrasts the wise woman with the foolish woman. You see that clearly in chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. We find that in that chapter, the wise woman buildeth her house, and the foolish tears it down, destroys it by her life. We find as we come through the Scriptures that there are many wise women in the Bible. Ruth and Abigail and Esther and Huldah, and there's just a multitude of others. But what we find here is that God chose to refer to wisdom as a woman who has much to offer, as a wise woman that has a lot to offer. In other words, if we want wisdom, we must listen to Lady Wisdom, if we want the wisdom of God. So he portrays wisdom here as a woman. By the way, this is found in chapter 1, verse 20 through 22. It's found again in chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. Found again in chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. And then all through chapter 8. Chapter 8 begins like this. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the pass. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the door. In other words, referred to as a woman. Why? Because she is beautiful, she is lovely, and she brings life and joy into the world. And so God is using a woman to describe wisdom. Very appropriate, is it not? A lot of wise women in the Scripture who love the Lord and follow the Lord. Well, notice now, let's read verse 6 again, and let's turn away. Notice he says here, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Why would we want to chase after the wisdom and the wickedness of this world? Why would we even want it? Why do we even study certain things? Unless we're going to preach against it or show somebody how wrong it is, you know. Take all the philosophers and the people from years gone by, and even our present time, they have nothing to offer us. He says, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Well, I want you to turn with me to Joshua chapter 24. Very familiar passage, but I'm going to kind of consider the context. Joshua chapter 24. I want to give you just a few other verses before I read here. Let's talk about just for a moment the fatherhood of God. We have an article sermon on that years gone by. We have also an article and sermon on fathers. The fatherhood of God, it is the most dominant attribute of God, especially when you come to the New Testament. The Lord's Prayer. In Matthew 6 and verse 9, said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The fatherhood of God. The term father, in reference to the fatherhood of God, it designates the first person of the Holy Trinity and shows his relationship to his children. And here's the thing, God is our role model as a father. Yes, we need role models in the church, we need role models in society, we need role models in the home. But if we don't have that many, we've got God. God is the perfect, ultimate role model. Fathers are to represent God in the home to their children. And if children see the love of an earthly father, I believe they will also see the love of a heavenly father. I just think that's true. So the word father, I think in our article that we wrote a number of years ago, I think I put in there that it speaks basically, it speaks of many things, but one in particular is relationship. When we think of father, we cry, Abba, Father, as the Lord Jesus. It speaks of relationship, Romans 8 and verse 15. But it also speaks of discipline in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 14. And last of all, it speaks of love, 1 John 3, 1, and 1 John 4, and in verse 8. Think about this. Think about all the attributes of God. His wisdom, His mercy, His love. We could go through a list. He's all-knowing and all-seeing and all-understanding and all these attributes. The most dominant in the New Testament especially is Him being a Father. The fatherhood of God. So we've got this great role model that we can learn from. And if you want some other references on just this, in Ephesians 3 verse 14, Ephesians 4, 6, give you two more, Ephesians 5, 20, and Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 12. There's many, many more. So now let's consider this. Let's take a few examples. Now one is in Genesis 18, 19, where that God is going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember the Lord visited Abraham and Sarah. And as they were leaving, going towards Sodom and Gomorrah, the Lord says, I cannot hold this back from Abraham. Abraham was a friend of God. But He says He's going to reveal to him what is going to take place. He said, God said, I know him and He will command His children to follow me. In other words, God knew that Abraham was a good father, a good man that loved him. And so He's going to reveal His truth, something that no one else knew. No one else knew that Sodom was going to be destroyed. But God revealed this to Abraham because He said, I know that He will command His children. As the head of the home, He will do that. Well, notice here in Joshua chapter 24, it's a very familiar passage. Verse 1 says, And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders and for the head, their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they represented themselves before God. So what we're going to read about here is a public declaration. Public declaration. This is Joshua's farewell speech, farewell address. And here's what he's saying. He said in verse 14, he said, Now God has given you the land, verse 13, verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is a public declaration before an entire nation. He said, you do what you want to do, but as far as me and my house. He was the head of his house. He was leading his house in truth. And he said, here's what we're going to do. And then the children of Israel said, we want to do this as well. So Joshua made a covenant with the people in verse 25 that very day. Made a covenant with them that they'd serve God. The Bible says in verse 31, And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that He had done for Israel. So Joshua made a public declaration in his farewell address to the nation of Israel. He was not ashamed to stand and say, me and my family are gonna serve God. We find this again. Turn with me to the book of Malachi. in the book of Malachi. Notice here. And I'll give you another passage. I think we just read this a few weeks ago in Psalm 78, verses 1 through 7, a wonderful psalm that shows how fathers are to lead and guide and teach their family and pass on the truths of God to the next generation so that that generation can pass it to the following generation. But notice in Malachi chapter 4, and this is a challenge to all of us that are men, all of us that are fathers. It's a challenge to us, but others have done it in the Scripture, and we can do it as well. Now notice here, verse 5 and 6, chapter 4, Malachi, verse 5 and 6. I want you to notice what I'm going to be reading. It's the last words of the Old Testament, and we're going to find this the first part, is part, I should say, of the first words of the New Testament. He says in verse 5, "Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." As we read the New Testament, we know that this is referring to John the Baptist, who came in the spirit and power of Elijah. Verse 6, now here's the verse I'm after. "And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Now go with me to Luke chapter 1. Again, this is the last words of the Old Testament and part of the first words of the New Testament. Very interesting. And he's talking about the heart bond between the fathers and the children. There should not be a generation gap. Notice as we come here, I'm coming to Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1. Now I'm going to read in verse 17. This is where the Lord is speaking to Zacharias, John the Baptist's father. And he says in verse 15, "He'll be filled with the Holy Ghost." Verse 16, "Many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God." Now notice in verse 17, see, the key here is to turn the hearts of the father to the children and the children to the fathers. This is what it's supposed to be. And so he says here in verse 17, "And he shall go before him," that is John the Baptist, "go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elias," here it is, "to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." The heart bond between fathers and children is God's plan of redemption. For it is families that produce godly children is what makes up the church. We'll be celebrating 31 years here Sunday, and we'll be talking out of the book of Revelation about Christ and His church. So this heart bond is absolutely necessary. One other passage. Ephesians, very familiar passage, and we'll close. In Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, reading the first four verses. We read Sunday night in closing, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8, where men are to lift up holy hands in prayer. Well, notice in Ephesians chapter 6, the first four verses. This ought to be our vocation. Fathers are to train up their children and they're to discipline them in love and kindness. One writer said, "The parent's life is the child's copybook." Here's a quote from William Penn. He said, "Men are generally more careful of their horses and pigs than their children." And let me bring this into 2021. Bring this in 2021. They're more concerned about their trucks and their shotguns and their boats and their stocks and bonds and their retirements and their 401ks than they are their children. Spend more time polishing stuff and fixing stuff than they do with their children in the society in which we live. So let's close here in this passage. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." So here's that bond again, what we started out, fathers and children, in Proverbs 4. Now, notice he speaks to the children, verse 1 and 2, now verse 3 and 4. Well, he speaks here, he continues with his children, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Now look at this, verse 4. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. In other words, that could be in many ways, by your words or your actions, by wrong discipline, by many things, by criticism. You could provoke them to wrath many, many ways. You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but to bring them up, notice, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers and children's relationship. We're not through with that subject because we'll keep coming back to this as we study through the book of Proverbs. Would you stand with me, please? Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for thy love and thy mercy. We thank you for the Holy Scriptures. And we thank you, Lord, that you've given us instruction. And if we'll follow them, Lord, you've promised that you will bless and lead us. We ask now for your blessings upon the remaining of this service tonight. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.